Welcome back to Aliyah Yomim. Today we're going to be learning together Mitzorah Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Mitzorah. The topic of our Aliyah is the Zav. We'll see what that is in just a second. Our Aliyah runs from Perik Yud Dalet, Nun Dalet to Perik Tesov Tesov, and that is 19 psukim in total. So let's do a quick overview of our Aliyah and perhaps dive straight into the ideas itself. The first four psukim already are capstone reminder about all the tzaras. This is the Torah, the teachings of all the different types of tzaras. To teach us the difference between the pure days, the impure days, Zoyes Tzaras and Tzaras, and it ends the section of Tzaras. We then enter into a section which is called Zav. That's the primary section. Zav is generally translated a person who has a flow, a man who has a flow. Ish ish kiye zav mibisaroi zavo tamehu. His flow is impure. And then we hear a number of halachas which govern this individual. We hear about all the different things that he can impure, may make impure through his state or touching him or interacting with him. And then we hear about the 7-day period in which he is impure, and at the end he has to do mikveh, wash his clothes, and then brings these korbanos, chatas and the two bnei yonah, these two doves. One is a chatas, one is an olah, and the person will get atonement and be purified again. So very strange parasha. What is going on here? How do we understand it? So the first thing we need to contemplate on is what is the zav. Rashi explains, this is a person who has a type of bodily emission from the man's genitals, which is white and similar to semen, but not precisely the same. The Baal HaTorah explains that the word Zav actually comes from the word we famously know when we talk about the land of Israel. We call Zavas Chalav Advash, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the word means a flow. So it's an unusual flow from the man's body. That's what's referred to over here. Now, what makes this person impure? Rashi explains, quoting the Gemara, that there is actually two different stages here. If a man were to see this type of emission or this excretion once or twice, they automatically become impure. Upon the third sighting of it, then the person not only becomes impure, but would require a korban to exit the state of impurity as well. So the first two are less severe than the last two as well. The Malbim points out that if we look at this as back to Nagaim, to the plague of Tzaras, this is a little more severe than the plague of Tzaras in that this is an involuntary experience, whereas the Tzaras comes upon voluntary activities which warrant a spiritual disease. Here we have some sort of spiritual disease or spiritual effect which is coming into place because of an involuntary activity. Now, what ways does a Zav impurify others? So just a brief overview of some of the aspects of our Mishnah. This is very complicated. These laws of purity and impurity are extremely complicated. It is worthwhile taking a look at the Tiferes Yisrael's, Rav Lifshitz's introduction to Seder Tyros, to appreciate the full range of all the different steps of Tum and Tyra. But just as a brief overview over here, is we hear that a person who is a Zav is Matame, will make impure for Mishkav, that means to say something which is made for lying on, which the Zav will lean or lie on. The Moshav is something made for sitting, which he will sit on. Maga is direct touch. And then Masa is something, let's say, that it is picked up of his, let's say he spits on the ground, suddenly lifts up or that spit, that person will become Tame. Merikav is something which he's riding on, but not actually, perhaps, not a Moshav or Mishkav. So let's say, for instance, the front of the saddle, which is holding him in place, would be a Merikav as well. So important implications in Aralia, which are described over here, as understood through Rashi, is the Mishkav and Moshav. That's the one he lays upon or sits upon, create an Av Hatuma, a high, we'll call rank A, one, level one of a tumah, which is matame adam v'kelim, which can therefore impurify a person and other vessels. So therefore, let's say a zav laid upon a mattress, that mattress will now impurify another person and vessels. Whereas the tumas maga, if the zav just touches something, that only is a lower level. It's what's called a vlad hatuma, which is really a, we'll call it tier two, which can only matame of food. So it's a lower level of tumah to be metame. Another important thing to note over here is that mishkav and moshav, that's lying and sitting, are even if there's no direct contact. So let's say the princess and the pea, so let's say there's 10 mattresses and the zav lies upon them, even if he's not directly touching the bottom one, he is metame it through mishkav. But maga would be if he touched it directly. We also notice that the merkav, that's sort of the saddle over there, is a lower level tumah, and therefore the tumah only lasts until the evening. We also notice that the for masa, moshav, and mishkav, those are for carrying it, for the zav lying or sitting upon it, or the excretions, a person who comes in tummy with these becomes impure until evening, and they need to wash their clothes and go to the mikveh. So just a few basics in this area, something which we're not so versed with today because we are not in the stage of keeping with the halachas, tumah, and tahara at this stage in the game. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we will become much more well-versed with this as well. Basic question over here is, why does a person become a zav? The Sforna says it's because a person who is overly absorbed in sexual indulgences. The way he says it is besibas rov hiasmadas hamishagel. A person is too involved in sexual activities, hiruhurov, and its thoughts. Asher loy techdal. And it will result in this condition, which will make a person impure. The Rambam seems to suggest that it is actually really a regular seminal flow for a man, but it gets stuck inside the body and comes out later because of some sort of malfunction, which actually leads us to the very fascinating observation of the Ramban, and that is that really this person is in a dire state of sickness. And the person in their state of sickness is, when they become pure, it's actually them healing. And therefore, the korban they're bringing over here is a korban of thanksgiving for coming out of that dire situation. The Barav Ben Bechaya says not only is it the korban a hoidah, thanksgiving, but it's also a kapora, a chatas, a sin offering for the sins which led them to that situation. We view sicknesses as a warning sign from God, not as simply a bother. And that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Ramban explain. It is worthwhile noting, though, that the Mishnah in Zavim, on the second parak of the second Mishnah, does tell us that when a person would come forward with this condition, they would do tests upon the person to make sure that there was no, they ask questions as to whether this was as a function of overeating, overdrinking, heavy lifting, overexertion, sickness, or sexual thoughts, or gazing. So meaning to say that the Mishnah understands that this was purely a spiritual disease and it could not have been out of simply a speculative or physical exertion, which shows us the higher level of what's going on over here. And it is worthwhile noting, as Rav Sorotzkin points out in Oznaim Notara, that in the first time a person is metame even be'ones, even involuntarily, there afterwards it has to be through voluntary action and decisions. With this, we conclude the fifth Aliyah in Metzora. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.